Hey, Dan Sheridan here. This is Lesson 5 in our Civics Made Easy series. We're entitling it, We're In This Together, because I want you to see how this has to do with all of us being bound together in one great country, beginning with the individuals, the families, and the communities, and it works its way out from there. We're in this together. That's a true statement. Now, in our last lesson, we learned that America is an experiment, and I want to show you how much of an experiment it is. We're going to get into the township in our next lesson, but I want to talk about federalism. What is federalism? Now, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase the federal government? Think about that for a second. Most think immediately of Washington. Well, that's unfortunate. Now, it may be true to think of that in a sense today because we're accustomed to thinking of the federal government when we think of federal. But that's an unfortunate distinction. The real meaning has been lost. Our federal system of government was invented at the Constitutional Convention. It was invented there. There was nothing like it before 1787. The word federal was used to describe this new system that the founders invented. Federal is derived from confederation. Now, before 1787, the term was used as an adjective to describe a confederation. So what the founders did was mingle elements of a national government with those of a confederation, and they called it federal. Now, the federal system of government consists of both the national and state governments. I know it's in vogue today to call the national government the federal government, but it's not technically accurate. And here's why that's not accurate. As we've learned in this series so far, government begins with the individual, and it includes the townships, the counties, the state, as well as the national government. Those are all governments. Every one of them are legitimate governments. The powers of government are dispersed in the United States. That's the point. Each level of government has its own jurisdiction, which can't be usurped by other levels of government. You understand that? That's an important lesson to grasp. Let me repeat this. Each level of government has its own jurisdiction, which can't be usurped by other levels. And by the way, that begins with the individual. The individual has his jurisdiction. The families do, the communities, the township, the counties, the cities, and the states, as well as the national government. Remember the point of this series to show how everything is connected, and it begins with the individual. That's federalism. Now, the national government is a government limited to the enumerated powers granted to it in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Now, I know since the founders, things have changed a little bit. People have gone from a strict construction of the Constitution to a more broad one, but that's not what we're going to talk about here. It's the point that the powers are enumerated, and the states are limited as well. So the national government and the states are both limited. Constitutionalism and limited government is built on the foundation of local government. We need to meet our obligations nearest to home first. People who are negligent of their immediate responsibility are incapable of dealing with more distant ones. That's a true statement. So a wise and responsible people are concerned with local government. Local government starts with the individual, then the family. After that comes the town, the county, the state, and the nation is last in line. This is constitutionalism, dispersed power beginning with the individual. And that's what the founders called self-government. All right, let's take a look at how this works with regards to the federal system. The founders didn't believe government is capable of directing all human affairs. They knew that man is limited and fallible, and as a result, every institution of man is fallible as well, and limited. It should be limited. They didn't think that human error magically disappears when men meet together in Congress, right? We agree on that. So thus, man, especially government, should be limited, and that's why the founders created the Constitution. Now, the Founding Fathers wanted more than just limited government on paper. They were fully aware that politicians either ignore or reconstruct paper limitations. So they went beyond the paper limitation and put into the form of government itself a built-in restraint system. And they did this, first of all, by separating the government into three branches: legislative, executive, and judicial. And not only that, the legislative body is divided into two houses. So, for any law to be passed, it requires the approval of all three branches. First, it must go through the both houses of Congress. Then, it's got to be signed by the president. Now, if the president vetoes it, it has to be repassed by two-thirds majorities in both houses. But that's not all. If the courts deem the laws to be unconstitutional, they don't have to enforce it. And not only that, the courts need the cooperation of the executive branch to use force. So in this way, the founders hope that each branch will be jealous of its prerogatives and check the other branches from encroaching on their individual powers. Now, the states are part of this as well. Remember, states existed before the national government. The national government is a creature of the states. The states simply yielded to the national government some of their powers, but they still retained power in their own jurisdictions. So, each level of government was to be jealous. This is what the founders intended, that each level would be jealous of their jurisdictions and check any grasping of unconstitutional powers. So, each branch of government is independent in their actions, or at least in the original Constitution they were changed a little bit. We'll get into that another time. And the reason why they were independent in their actions is that they were selected by different electorates. The members of the House are chosen by the people in their districts. The Senate was originally chosen by the state legislators and represented the state governments. Now, that was changed, and now senators are popularly elected. Some people think it's good, some people think that's bad. Now, the president was chosen by the Electoral College. They were a distinct group of people chosen for that particular occasion. And judges were appointed by the president with the advice of the Senate. Now, once the judges were appointed, however, they were completely independent because they served for life as long as they behaved. And again, that's another issue, whether that's good or bad, whether they serve for life. But the point is, that's how independent they were of each other, and no branch could use force against each other. Now, remember, we said this is an experiment. If some of these original provisions were good or bad, it's up to us to revise and change them according to the wisdom we've learned through trial and error. But the point is that the government was dispersed. That's what the founders intended. So this is the great system that was invented at the Constitutional Convention. It's called federalism. It begins with the individual and the families and the communities, and from there the townships and the counties and the cities and the states and the national government. Power is dispersed in the United States, and it all begins with you, the individual, and me. We're in this together. That's a true statement. You know, George Washington was so excited about this federal system that he actually thanked God for it. Here's what he said: "And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed." That's the quote. Notice what he says, that we need to be first enabled to do our local duties, our public or private duties locally on the local level. And when we do that, then our national government will be a blessing to all people. Notice George Washington recognized that, and we need to recognize that too. The individual is the foundation of the national government, so let's fulfill our duties locally by being good and kind and just and loving one another. And when we start there in our homes and our families and our friends and our neighbors, that will make the national government better. That's where we begin. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for taking this time to hang out with me. In our next lesson, we're going to begin and talk about the township. I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you learned something. Remember this until next time. Be good to one another, because we're in this together.